This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
A bomb explosion in a mosque in the Afghan city of Herat kills at least 18 people and injures nearly 2,000 others. More Israeli atrocities, regime forces kill a Palestinian man in the occupied West Bank. And Russia accuses Ukraine of nuclear terrorism, saying that Kiev's shelling of Zaporizhia atomic power plant risks a catastrophe in Europe. Hello and welcome, everybody. Our top story for this half hour. The death toll from an explosion in Afghanistan's western city of Herat rises to 18. Police say a high-profile pro-Taliban cleric was among those killed. Over 20 others were wounded. The blast rocked a mosque during Friday prayers. No group has claimed responsibility for the attack, but the Daesh terrorist group has carried out similar bombings in the past. The ruling Taliban have vowed to bring to justice those behind the attack. Iran has condemned the deadly bombing. Foreign Ministry spokesman Nasser Kanani says the Islamic Republic stands by the Afghan people in the fight against extremism, violence, and terrorism. Well, joining us now via satellite from the Afghan capital, Kabul, is our correspondent, Abdullah Mirzada. Abdullah, please bring us up to speed on the recent details from this deadly blast that took place in Herat.
Well, as you know, today there was an attack, a suicide attack on Maulavi Mujib Ansari in Guzargah Mosque of Herat. The suicider somehow managed to get so close to Mujibullah Ansari and then detonated his explosives. He killed Maulavi Ansari and 17 other people along with Maulavi Ansari. Among the people who were killed, there is brother of Mujibullah Ansari also. 23 people were injured, and the number of injuries were so high, they were transferred to the hospitals, and the central blood bank of Herat also called upon people to donate blood. Many people were gathered outside the hospitals to donate their bloods. Before this attack, there was a meeting between Mujibullah Ansari and Mullah Abdul Ghani Baradar. But before the attack, they were separated, so Maulavi Abdul Ghani Baradar is safe and sound, but Mullah Mujib Ansari was killed. ISIS has claimed this attack, and they say that this was done by their group, and there were some reactions after that. As you mentioned, the Islamic Republic of Iran condemned this attack, and Zabihullah Mujahid, the spokesman of the IEA, also tweeted that the perpetrators of such attacks, and this attack especially, will be caught soon and they will be punished properly. But aside those, this is the third attack which is being actually performed on clergymen who are supporter of Taliban in the last 30 days. Maulavi Mujib Ansari was the most well-known between them. The other ones were Rahimullah Haqqani, who lost his life with 10 of his students in a mosque, and Amir Muhammad Kabuli, who lost his life along 21 other worshippers in a mosque. These explosions have all happened in mosques up to now, all the three, and all the people, actually the clergymen who have lost their lives, were supporter of Taliban and were very renowned and had space between people even before the Taliban taking power. During the Republic era, they were known and they were popular. Up to now, this is the information that we have. The number of those who have lost their lives might rise, but we hope not. There is no more information on this matter.
All right, thanks a lot. Abdullah Amirzadeh, our correspondent, joining us from the Afghan capital, Kabul. Moving on, Iran once again stresses it's ready for a good, strong, and lasting agreement in the talks to revive the 2015 deal known as the JCPOA. Iran's foreign minister made the comment at a phone call with his Omani counterpart, Saeed Bad al-Busaidi. Hossein Amir Abdullahian also touched upon Iran's latest indirect correspondence with the U.S. over an EU proposal to restore the JCPOA. He said Iran prepared its response with a view to accelerate and facilitate the finalization of the talks. Earlier, the Iranian Foreign Ministry said an expert team carefully reviewed and submitted its views to the EU coordinator. The ministry described Iran's text as constructive. The U.S., however, says Iran's response was not constructive. The JCPOA was thrown into chaos in 2018 when the U.S. pulled out of it and imposed anti-Iran sanctions. Researcher and political analyst Christopher Halali tells us about his views on the possibility of the JCPOA revival deal.
We are close, but I remain cautiously, optimistic at this point. What reports we are getting out from various leaks, both in the press on both sides, include that we are close to a deal, that something is close. I'm very concerned, of course, what Israel is doing behind the scenes, what some of the other countries that are antagonistic to Iran are doing behind the scenes, and also within Washington, establishment and the politicians who are much more hawkish on Iran. I believe that they're going to do everything they can now to derail a possible, resumption of a deal with the Islamic Republic of Iran. Ultimately, Biden is in an election year, and so I think that he's trying to push for a deal, but he's politically unstable, and his ability to get reelected or for his party to get, to maintain control of the House and Senate isn't secure. So I remain cautious about this news that's coming out that a deal is imminent, mm-hmm. And it's my hope that it happens. But of course, I also know that Iran has red lines and it doesn't want to be crossed. And hopefully the Americans can come to their senses.
On this segment of the News Review program, more deadly Israeli violence against Palestinians. Regime forces gunned down a man in the occupied West Bank city of Al-Khalil. The Israeli military claims he was killed following a stabbing attack. No more details have been provided about the attack. The Israeli military has recently stepped up deadly raids in the occupied West Bank, launching fierce assaults on the local population. In one such raid on Thursday, Israeli forces killed two Palestinian men. According to a Palestinian rights group, the Israeli regime has killed 112 people in the occupied West Bank and the besieged Gaza Strip since the beginning of 2022. Joining us on this edition of the News Review, we have our correspondent, Mona Kandil, who's joining us from Ramallah. Also, we have writer and political analyst, Saeed Shahabi, who's joining us from the British capital, London. Welcome to the program, to the both of you. Let's start off with Mona, and please give us an update on the recent Israeli violence and aggression in the occupied West Bank.
Palestinian Ministry of Health revealed that they were informed that a Palestinian man was shot dead at the junction of Beit Aynun, northeast Al-Khalil, also known as Hebron, this afternoon, and that the body of this Palestinian man, whose identity is still unknown, was grabbed by the Israeli soldiers. The Israeli forces had said earlier that a Palestinian man arrived near this junction that is close to the illegal settlement of Kiryat Arba, and he had a knife and he stabbed an Israeli settler. He wounded him. An Israeli soldier opened fire and shot him. Then he succumbed to his injuries. Later, the Israeli military said that the one who was wounded was an Israeli soldier who was standing with a number of Israeli soldiers stationing there at the entrance to the illegal settlement of Kiryat Arba, and of course at the junction of the Palestinian village of Beit Aynon. Israeli Prime Minister blessed this this move or this action by the Israeli forces and said that the Israeli soldiers would continue to act quickly in order to make sure that none of the Israeli forces would be attacked or the Israeli settlers, and that the soldiers would continue to deploy everywhere in the occupied West Bank.
And Mr. Shahabia, we've seen an increase of Israeli violence against Palestinians for a few months now. If you can, share with us your views on the motives behind this recent increase of violence being carried out by the Israeli regime.
Thank you very much. Of course, it is a sad news that another Palestinian has been killed illegally and illegitimately. You cannot just keep killing people every day. There is hardly any day that passes without a Palestinian victim being killed by the Israelis. So what sort of an occupation force is this? What sort of modern statehood in Palestine that keeps killing people almost on daily basis? Isn't it the case for the international community to take action, to make a stand, to stop them? I haven't heard any accusation or any condemnation from any Western government to the Israeli government, which keeps killing people at will every day. And of course, they will always say that this Palestinian with an arm, with a knife, or possibly with a gun, has attacked an Israeli soldier. The question is first, why isn't and why haven't there been any independent and neutral investigation into these killings? Secondly, why are these Israeli soldiers standing everywhere near the Palestinian land? And thirdly, why are these settlers who are taking the Palestinian homes, why aren't they tamed? Why are they also allowed to carry guns and attack Palestinians at will, at any time, anywhere? So there are many questions that must be put to the government of the United States, the UK, the EU, the Security Council. Why aren't they asking Israel to stop this killing? And there hasn't been a single real and neutral investigation into the killing of these people. Women, or elderly women, pregnant women, girls, children, underage. Since the beginning of the year, more than 112 people, Palestinians mainly, were killed by the Israelis. Isn't that a crime? Why is this world silent about these crimes that constitute war crimes? Because extrajudicial killings are war crimes, are crimes against the humanity. Why haven't we heard any condemnation, any stand, whether by the United Nations or the West in general?
Well, staying with you, Mr. Shahabi, on that note, where you mentioned a lack of accountability for the Israelis and a lack of action on behalf of the international community, much of this happens due to the unequivocal support that the Israelis receive from the United States. If that's the case, then how can the status quo ever change?
Well, I think it is time that several steps are taken. Number one, we expect our leaders in the Arab world to make a stand, to say something, to take a pro-Palestinian stand. This is number one. And of course, this means, number two, that they should put pressure on America, on the EU, to take steps to penalize Israel for what they do to the Palestinians. Number three, we hope, as we have always wished, that none of these puppet regimes would go and normalize relations with Israel, like what happened in recent months by the United Arab Emirates, by Bahrain regime, because the people of Bahrain, the people of the Arab world, do not want to have normal relations with Israel as long as they keep killing Palestinians at will. And number four, if the Arab states, if the OIC, the Islamic Cooperation Organization, if they take serious stance on the case of Palestine, then they would make an impact on the international scene. They can put pressure on America. They can make it condition on for any relations, any positive and normal and practical relations with the West, dependent on the Western attitude and stance with regards to Palestine. If they do that, I think no Israeli government would really allow or would afford to continue to kill Palestinians as they have been doing.
All right, thanks a lot. Press TV's Mona Kandil joining us from Ramallah, and also thanks to Mr. Saeed Shabi joining us from the British capital, London. Welcome back. It's day two of the International Atomic Energy Agency inspection of Ukraine's Zaporizhzhia nuclear power plant, which has become the latest flashpoint in the war with Russia. The IAEA chief says the inspectors will stay on at the facility until at least Monday and provide a neutral and technical assessment. Rafael Grossi also added that the physical integrity of the plant has been clearly violated several times. The Kremlin spokesman Dmitry Peskov says Moscow views the inspectors' visit to Zaporizhzhia as very positive. The IAEA inspectors are surveying operations on assessing potential damage at the plant. Russia and Ukraine blame each other for the repeated shelling of the plant, which has prompted fears of a possible nuclear leak.
Inflicting strikes on the facilities of the Zaporizhzhia nuclear power plant, Kiev creates a real threat of a nuclear catastrophe in Europe. According to international law, this is nothing but nuclear terrorism.
The Russian defense minister also accused the U.S. and European Union of encouraging reckless actions around the nuclear plant by providing Ukraine with weapons. The Kremlin has previously called on the international community to put pressure on Kiev to reduce tensions at the plant. Two IAEA officials are set to remain at the plant on a permanent basis following the conclusion of this week's mission. That's according to the Russian envoy to the UN Nuclear Agency. Well, that's a wrap for now, but do stay tuned up.
IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Quran Quest, yes please. Quran Quest, answering your Quranic questions.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is IRIB English Radio broadcasting from Iran. The program is Quran Quest, where we study the verses of the Quran one by one with our always happy, always smiling Very knowledgeable, Brother Habib. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Habib. Thank you very much for being with us.
Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you.
So we are on chapter 77 of the Quran, verses 20 onwards from this chapter. We've studied quite a lot. The chapter has warned people about disbelieving the Day of Judgment. Let's listen to these verses and we'll be back for the rest of the discussion. Don't go away.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful.
ألم نخلقكم من ماء
Did we not create you from a liquid disdained? And we placed it in a firm lodging. For a known extent. And we determined it, and excellent are we to determine. Woe that day to the deniers.
أَلَمْ نَجْعَلِ الْأَرْضَ كِفَاتًا
Have we not made the earth a container?
أَحْيَاءً وَأَمْوَاتًا
Of the living and the dead?
وَجَعَلْنَا فِيهَا رَوَاسِيَ شَامِخَاتٍ
And we placed therein lofty, firmly set mountains, and have given you to drink sweet water. Woe that day to the deniers.
You're back on IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran. This is Quran Quest, and you just listened to verses 20 onwards from chapter 77 of Quran. The first few verses say, Did we not create you from a base fluid, then lodge it in a secure dwelling place for a known measure? Thus do we determine what excellent determiners. Woo that day to the deniers. So now the Quran is in this part where it wants to keep reminding people of the power of God subhanahu wa ta'ala and that the Day of Judgment is a piece of cake for him.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. And like how you stated, brother, it starts off to talk about human beings in the beginning of their purpose of life. You looked at it as the capability of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm looking at it at the path of towards the goal, towards which is reaching that paradise level, that satisfaction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you start off as
a base fluid, something that God says
insignificant,
repetitively.
Yeah, maheen, like it's something that's insignificant, something that's humiliated, something that's usually discarded, right? And
something that should be very humble.
Not clean. Mm-hmm. How are they not clean? I always remember when the verses talk about these, verses that talk about the beginning of human beings, ثُمَّ جَعَلَ نَسْلَهُ مِنْ سُلْصَالَةٍ مِنْ مَاءٍ مَهِينٍ, right? And I always remember the saying of Amir al-Mu'minin alayhi salam. I am surprised about mankind. Their beginning is dirty. They hold something dirty throughout their lives, and then at the end of the day, they become something dirty.
Mm-hmm. And yet they're so proud.
Yet they're so proud of themselves that they have this, showing off. Mm. Whenever you think of yourself at the beginning of your life, You were this, you turned into this, now you want to become something greater than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You want to become something greater than creation and everything. When you're all one. It's also based for, you know, for fighting against racism as well, you know. At the end of the day, black, white, yellow, green, red, I don't care what color you are. One day you were blood inside your father and you were something that's, you know, how do you say it?
Disgusting,
you
know, let's say.
Yeah, disgusting, humiliated, something about like despised, mm-hmm. right? And now you become this. That's just one way to look at it. Another way to look at it is the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How you know, detailed, let's say. How
accurate,
like the greatness of this creation. Like uh-huh. when you look at it, like how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how can you claim this is coming from nothing?
From chance.
Like from chance, you know, like this big bang on all of everything else that comes after it is what is out of chance. Just look at how human beings reproduced. And, you know, it's not like just once or twice or three times. Billions and billions and billions of human beings have been reproduced by this method. And yet to this day, with all that technology that we have, we still cannot reach to the same point. We're glands, not metal, glands. Not electricity, this, the soul, the spirit. This makes us move our hearts. Just something so complicated at the same time. So that's the beginning of human beings.
Thank you very much. Let's take our break right now and we'll be back for the rest of the discussion. Don't go away.
إن سألتم عن إلهي فهو رحمن رحيم أنزل الشارع حنيفا رحمة للعالمين رحمة للعالمين.
This is Quran Quest on IRIB English Radio. It's a program that attempts to answer your questions pertaining to the Noble Quran. We'd be delighted to have your comments about the program. Just search Quran Quest on IRIB English Radio.
If you ask me who my God is, on whose name I call, if you ask me who my God is, He's the God of us all, Allah the Merciful. If you ask me what my book is that I hold in my hand, if you ask me what my book is, it's the Holy Quran, the Holy Quran.
You're back on IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran. This is Quran Quest. We're on verses 20 onwards from chapter 77 of the Quran. So human beings come from this disgusting fluid, to be very... No. Very, very blunt with each other. And then this is lodged in a secure dwelling place.
Yes, it does not fall down. It remains inside the mother. Mm-hmm. It remains inside the mother's womb. And that's something very amazing. Like, you were inside your mother and you were inside your father at one point of your life. I always think about that when I look at my son. Like, this creation that's in front of me one day was inside me. And one day he was inside his mother. SubhanAllah. Now he's talking and he's eating cake on the floor and crumbling, and the ants are now going to eat on the floor.
And so, nobody can do anything to him.
Yeah.
He's going to keep eating on the
floor. Yes, yes. So, SubhanAllah, you were placed in this qarar, in Makin, this secure place, this safe abode, right? Mm-hmm. You were placed inside that and you remained there for ila qadr and ma'loom.
For a known time. Determined time.
9 months. Are there babies that come after 12 months? After 13 months? After 4 months? No, there's a specific time that you come in. And just thinking about it, SubhanAllah, how all of it plays a role in our lives, how from the beginning till the end, it's been precisely put out there. The plan, this is what Muslims mean when we say God's plan. Right? Like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has brought you up and put everything ready for you. Has made you ready. When you look at Dua Arafah, for example, looking about how Imam Hussein alayhi salam thanks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for placing him in this womb and the way that he places him and how he created him and whatnot. It really comes to your mind. And you just look at it and you just really think to yourself, really? Me and a goat are the same thing? Like, we're just going to live in this world and finish? No, there's a purpose that's coming after it. وَيْلٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ لِلْمُكَذِّبِينَ. Woe for those who are the deniers of the day of judgments. Truly comes after this verse.
Thus do we determine what excellent determiners woe that day to the deniers.
Yes. How excellent is our arranging. Wallah subhanallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, be glorified He, exalted be He. عَزَّ وَجَلْ فَقَدَّرْنَا فَنَعْمَ الْقَادِرُونَ. There's nothing more precise. It's from wisdom.
All the measurements were correct.
I just become in shock from those who study physics, study nature, biology and whatnot, yet remain atheists, remain in disbelief of a creator out there, an all-wise creator, not any creator, an all-wise creator. Just look at the beauty of these creations.
You know, the more you get into the details, the more exciting and the more amazing it gets. Physiology, at least I can talk on behalf of physiology. It's unbelievable. It's just, you just have to keep saying subhanallah. There's nothing else you can do, really. Let's move on to verse 25 onwards. It says, did we not make the earth a receptacle for the living and the dead? So this earth that we're living in is also a sign of God's capability.
I mean, just look at the earth. I mean, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you were not able to bury people in the earth, we would have to burn our dead people. You know, blessings, you don't know the blessings until you lose them sometimes. And that's what this earth is actually to us. We're able to sit down, we're able to, you know, grow fruits on it. At the same time, we're able to put our dead bodies in it and whatnot. And one time Amir Mu'min alayhi salam was returning from the war of Siffin. And he saw graves. He said, this is هذا كفاتل أموات. And then he saw the houses in Kufa. He said, هذا كفاتل أحياء. Because the meaning of كفات is something to be placed in. So we are coffins. Living, coffins or like, you know, there's not, you know, like a place where you could, that residence, contains you.
Residence.
Yeah, like residence.
Or the container.
Contains, yeah. where you reside in, right? So at the end of the day, yes. Of course, there's also this istihbab, this recommendation that whenever you cut your fingers, down. Yeah, because Imam Sadiq alayhi salam uses this verse to prove that when you cut your fingernails and when you cut your hair, bury it. It's recommended to bury it. That's something to point out to as well.
Okay, thanks. Let's take our break now and then we'll be back for the rest of the discussion. Don't go away.
Stay tuned to the IRIB English Radio.
We're back on IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran. This is Quran Quest. Verse 27 of chapter 77 reads, and we placed therein firm, soaring mountains and gave you sweet water to drink. It's talking about the blessings that God has given us in the world.
Yes, and I think about this. This is my theory. I haven't seen anyone before it, you know, talk about it much or, you know, point it out there. So, you know, just take it as an idea right now. Not as something that 100%. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if He wanted to leave out His mercy, let Him leave out the mercy part. Be just with human beings. To be just with human beings, you have to give them food and water. Why? Because they're bodies. And you know, when He gives you water and when He gives you food, does it have to be tasty? Does it have to be good? Or just something that you drink and that you're not thirsty anymore. Something that you eat and you're not hungry anymore. Even which could be like, even though it has no taste to it, even though it doesn't taste.
Tastes bad.
Yeah. It tastes bad. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that. وَجَعَلْنَا فِيهَا رَوَاسِيًا شَامِخَاتٍ. Of course, the meaning of رَوَاسِي شَامِخَاتٍ is like high mountains. And of course, high mountains, I've seen this in Lebanon a lot. I haven't seen it here. Usually when we build houses, the material that we need are usually taken from the mountains. The jewels mm-hmm. that we need are taken from the mountains. Mm-hmm. And something that we use. This is also a blessing. وَأَسْقَيْنَاكُمْ مَاءً فُرَاتًا. Sweet water, fresh water. Water that's drinkable and fresh.
That you know, enjoy.
You enjoy. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to act justly upon you and not with His mercy, He would give you some water. It doesn't have to be fresh. It has to be some kind of water, even though it's smelly. Mm-hmm. Something that doesn't kill you. Something that keeps you alive.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So that's a blessing. Every time you drink water, every time you eat something other than bread, mm-hmm. right? Keep it in mind that this is a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Even bread, I mean.
Like bread, yeah. Like, for example, it could be rocks that are edible and they just like taste like nothing. Then, we enjoy eating.
Then it says, woo that day to the denier. So we're seeing all of God's blessings.
Not only mercy. Blessings, like the plan, the mm-hmm. guidelines. Everything is in A for us to live in this world. Livable condition.
Pass through it safely.
Inside this exam. And then you have to use this exam. You have to take the exam.
Yeah.
I mean, everything is ready for you for the exam. But then you don't take the exam, or you think something else is the exam, or you fail that exam. That's something like, woo for those
woo
who...
to yeah, the disbelievers. Thank you very much, Brother Habib. It's always a joy talking to you. We learn a lot. I learn a lot. And thanks to our listeners for being there for us. If you missed this episode, don't worry. You can always download an archive of this one and all the previous ones from our website. Simply search Quran Quest IRIB English Radio. Until next episode, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
In the limelight.
Analysis of 126,000 cases over a decade shows black and Asian people in England wait longer for cancer diagnosis than white people. Diagnosis delays may mean fewer treatment options, while starting treatment later may also mean it is less effective, reducing the odds of survival. Here we present you an article written by Andrew Gregory under the heading, Revealed: Disturbing Race Divide on Cancer Patients' Wait Times in England. According to a disturbing analysis of the National Health Service's waiting times, black and Asian people in England have to wait longer for a cancer diagnosis than white people, with some forced to wait an extra 6 weeks. A damning review of the world's largest primary care database by the University of Exeter and The Guardian discovered minority ethnic patients wait longer than white patients in 6 of the 7 cancers studied. Race and health leaders have called the results deeply concerning and absolutely unacceptable. The analysis of 126,000 cancer cases over a decade found the median time between a white person first presenting symptoms to a general practitioner and getting diagnosed is 55 days. For Asian people, it is 60 days, or 9% longer. For black people, it is 61 days, or 11% longer. Diagnosis delays may mean fewer treatment options, while starting treatment later may also mean it is less effective, effectively reducing the odds of survival. Previous research had already shown that ethnic minority patients have worse outcomes when it comes to some cancers in England and are less likely to report positive healthcare experiences. Some of the differences in wait times for specific cancers are incredibly stark. The median time for white people to get a diagnosis for esophagogastric cancer of the stomach or esophagus is 53 days. For Asian people, it is 100 days, more than 6 weeks longer than the median 7 weeks wait for white people. In myeloma, the third most common type of blood cancer, the median diagnosis wait time for white people is 93 days. For black people, it is 127 days, more than a month longer. The British government and the National Health Service have repeatedly promised to purportedly tackle ethnic inequalities in healthcare. Experts say the findings show serious action is needed to understand how and why black and Asian people wait longer and to prevent it from happening again. Jabir Butt, the chief executive of the Race Equality Foundation, said, "These findings are deeply worrying with potential life-altering consequences for the health of black and Asian people." He added, "The differences are disturbing but sadly not surprising," adding, "We urgently need to address these underlying factors holding black and Asian patients back from getting a fair chance when it comes to fighting cancer." The University of Exeter looked at 126,000 cancer cases in England between 2006 and 2016. The data covered the four most common cancers: lung cancer, breast cancer, prostate cancer, and colorectal cancer, and three commonly diagnosed in ethnic minorities: esophagogastric cancer, myeloma, and ovarian cancer. The University of Exeter researcher Tanimola Martin said, "The findings help explain why ethnic minorities have poorer outcomes for some cancers and report worse experiences of healthcare," adding, "We urgently need to understand why this is the case for black and Asian groups." Michelle Mitchell, the chief executive of Cancer Research UK, which funded the research, said that while the differences are unlikely to be sole explanation for the inequalities in cancer survival, at the very least, extended wait times may cause additional stress and additional anxiety for ethnic minority patients. A review of the data by The Guardian found that in six of the seven cancers analysed, black or Asian patients waited longer for a diagnosis than white patients. The exception was lung cancer, where the median wait time was 103 days for black patients, 115 days for Asian patients, and 129 days for white patients. The Guardian also discovered the median myeloma diagnosis wait time for black people was 37% longer than for white people. Dr. Sophie Castell, the chief executive of Myeloma UK, said myeloma patients in general and black patients in particular experience some of the longest waits for a diagnosis in the country. She added, "The disparity will probably worsen as a result of the pandemic." She said, "The longer it takes to be diagnosed, the more likely patients are to suffer avoidable yet irreversible lifelong complications like broken bones and spines." She added, "This is absolutely unacceptable. Everyone deserves the same opportunity to get a timely diagnosis and live well for as long as possible." With breast cancer, the difference in diagnosis wait times becomes even larger among the patients waiting the longest. Overall, the median wait time was 13 days for white patients, 13 days for Asian patients, and 14 days for black patients. The gap between black and white patients grows alarmingly among the 10% of patients waiting the longest. The median for white patients waiting longest is 41 days. For Asian patients, it is 56 days, and for black patients, it is 73 days. It means black patients waiting the longest for a breast cancer diagnosis wait an entire month longer than white women who are also forced to wait. Delif Morgan, the chief executive of Breast Cancer Now, said black women were more likely to be diagnosed with more advanced breast cancer, for which survival outcomes are poorer. She said, "It's deeply concerning that this data suggests black and Asian women may also be waiting longer than white women to receive a diagnosis of breast cancer after presenting with symptoms, and we urgently need to understand why this is the case." The revelations follow a series of stories by The Guardian exposing major health disparities in England and the United Kingdom. Michelle Mitchell said that more needs to be done now to understand and tackle drivers of inequality. She said, "For this to happen, our next Prime Minister needs to make cancer a priority. Crucially, they must take targeted action to address inequalities and ensure an important timely diagnosis for everyone."
This is IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Ask the followers of the remembrance if ye know not.
You're listening to the program The Key on IRIB English Radio with Shiraz Hossein Agha, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Rome and a PhD in philosophy.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program, The Key, here at IRIB English Radio. Today on The Key, we're going to be looking at a question that a lot of people ask, and that question is regarding the difference and the distinction between the way that the Bible describes the Prophet Jesus and the way that the Quran does, or the way that the Quran introduces him and the way that the Bible introduces him. You know, there's a fundamental difference between these descriptions of this great prophet of God. And the difference and the distinctions are so glaring and so different that sometimes one wonders if the two are talking about the same person, right? But so we don't have time to go, obviously, to go into the details of, you know, why this is so and what led to this, this distinct and different descriptions. But right now, we just want to kind of allude to a couple of instances and cases that can help allude to, how they're different. You know, in the Holy Quran, Jesus has been described as an obedient servant of Allah, of God, a monotheist, an immaculate person, him and his mother. We have numerous hadiths regarding the immaculateness of both, obviously of Jesus and also the mother of Hazrat Isa, Hazrat Maryam, the Lady Maryam. For example, we have a hadith from the Holy Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which says that the foremost of the ladies of paradise are four in number. Khadija, the wife of the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Lady Fatima, his daughter, alayhi salam, Asiya, the wife of the Pharaoh, and finally, Maryam, the mother of Jesus. Right. So these are, the immaculateness and the purity which the Quran and the Sunnah describes them. Right. You know, this is something very clear. But when we look at the Bible, we see something very contradictory to this. For example, In one case, the Bible describes Jesus as being somebody who fears death. In one case, it says that when Jesus was on the gallows or was on the crucifix, the fear of death overcame his entire existence, and because of that, he turned to God and asked for his help. And when he did not receive an answer, he became angry, and he kind of scolded God Almighty, and in a very kind of condescending tone said, "Why have you forsaken me?" Right. So this is kind of something that's unbecoming of a prophet, a great prophet. Prophets and all great men, all they have courage. This courage comes from God and their reliance on God. And, fear of death is not something that we can ascribe to such an immaculate being, right? So even when we look at, some of the people who are not prophets, like some of the followers of the A'imma, right? Like, for example, when we look at the story of Karbala, we see that Imam Hussein's son, when he asks him, "What do you think of death?" he says that, "For me, it's sweeter than honey." Right. So how could we say that the Prophet Jesus, who was a prophet, right, could fear death and, be in this kind of fearful state? Thank you for joining us here on The Key. We're looking at Jesus in the Bible and in the Holy Quran. Until next time, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Shiraz Hussein Agha, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Rome and a PhD in philosophy, on the program The Key on IRIB English Radio.
You can also send your questions to englishradio@irib.ir.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1920 to 2020 UTC on the following frequencies. 31 meters, 9,855 kilohertz for Europe, and 31 meters, 9,835 kHz for Southern Africa. and FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and Iran Sat or Bat 5, and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details.